Morning. First, I'd like to introduce a word of warning. Should you ever be ill and visited by Reverend Kent while in the midst of a delirium, be careful about saying that you'd like to share with what you're seeing with the congregation, because he will hold you to it. Seriously, I am grateful for this opportunity to thank all of you who contributed to my recovery from pneumonia last October. Certainly, your thoughts and best wishes made me feel warmly connected to a caring community and no doubt significantly helped ameliorate a serious condition. Which brings me to my theme today. In truth, I have until recently thought of community pretty much as an abstract idea, sometimes useful as a political coin to rally a cause, as in the college community must argue for increased funding, sometimes simply as one of those words we use because we wish to feel good, as in the community takes pride in helping those less fortunate. Funding rallies occur and the less fortunate are helped, but it always seemed unclear to me to what degree a community was involved. How many people were required to constitute a community? Was there a consciousness embedded in community? Was community stable or spontaneous? My sense of community was generally that it had useful meaning, but didn't require me to get close enough to endow it with clear definition or to recognize it as much more than loose affinity. And most certainly, the thought of community as a spiritual connection among people, as a kind of synaptic wiring, was irresolute at best. As I've reflected on this, I see that my guarded sense of community comes from being born into a time and a neighborhood where people pretty much took care of things on their own. We did not come together so much as help out when needed because of some innately understood Christian ideal or a sense of neighborliness encouraged it. There might have been a hint of community when the neighbors would call my home to report an adolescent indiscretion, but it didn't seem so to me at the time. What I did understand with conviction was that the prevailing ethos of my German-Irish immigrant grandparents and their children was the pride of making their own way on their own within the family. Community began and ended at the front door. Even the church I was born into was a series of prescriptions rather than congregational connection. In those days, service happened mostly in a language no one but the priests understood, and so we learned spiritual dependence rather than faithful interdependence. And when English was spoken, it usually began with a stern admonition about our sinful nature, which certainly had us inching a bit farther away from each other rather than embracing spiritual connection. The church of my youth was not an environment for exploring community, sacred or secular, so much as a rank and file of order and rules. So in general, my sense of community developed as an academic concept, a concept with useful denotation, but lacking the connotative power that might make it accessible to my emotional life, which itself was mostly inaccessible as a matter of nature and training. It was only after a great number of years that I recognized sentiment as clearly distinct from sentimentality, and more recently still, that I have come to understand depth of feeling as an integral part of my everyday life and its connection to my spiritual health. There was, however, one time, brief and unsustainable, when I did feel a rhythm of community as something spiritual rather than just the secular ordering of presumed common experience. Our daughter Kate was attending Green Street Friends School, which required second graders and above to attend Quaker worship from 9 to 9:30 on Wednesdays. Kate was a bit mystified by the whole thing and asked if I would come as support. Fortunately, my teaching schedule allowed it, and I found myself sitting in the back of a solidly square and spare Quaker meeting house each Wednesday morning. At first, I was amused at how Kate's second grade classmates began to figure out that while silence was the typical mode of worship, it was permissible to make occasional contributions. So it was not unusual to hear about the death of Harry's turtle, or to appreciate a sentence, or to appreciate a sentence that started somewhere specific, took a few tenuous steps, and wound up in adorably incomprehensible collapse. But what I found fascinating was that at each service, usually somewhere about halfway in, the fidgeting of the young and the studied nonchalance of the selected seventh and eighth graders on the facing bench became a settled moment of silence where even the slowly moving dust in the old room seemed to come to a halt. In that brief incandescent moment, just before a giggle somewhere in the third grade, community made sense to me as something other than a word that was serviceable only in the secular world and separate from depth of feeling. At that moment, I would invariably find myself taking a deep, satisfying breath that came close to being transformative. Of course, Kate soon became comfortable. I was no longer needed, and those moments got tucked away in a tangle of neurons rather than becoming a catalyst for deeper reflection. Still, I see that experience now as one of those semi-conscious, as one of those occasional curious gifts that we carefully put away with a semi-conscious sense of its importance and the vague feeling that one day we will come across it and recognize its power in a new context. That day arrived as I was writing this, accompanied by that electric feeling of spiritual connection, and I will happily own to embracing the sentiment of it. During my 3 years as a member of USG, I have spent part of virtually every Sunday thinking about what it might mean to have faith. Unitarian Universalism is, after all, a religion. As I've reflected on what faith might mean in the context of a religion that invites a mariachi band into its sanctuary, which was my Lord Jesus, what is this about introduction to USG, I have sometimes looked at the stained glass throughout our church and been moved at how the light passes through the colors and, of course, the artistry, but not by the images in each pane, which represent for me a belief system long abandoned. In fact, there are no iconic images in this building that lead me to faith. No crosses, no crowns, not even the pews, though I hasten to add my aesthetic devotion to the pews. I have, however, finally arrived, at least on the doorsteps, of what faith could possibly mean. Idiosyncratic or not, and what UU is without declared idiosyncrasy, I can make a distinction between faith and belief. Belief, for me, is something given to which I subscribe. It may be mysterious, but it is accepted nonetheless. For a Catholic, Jesus was conceived by the Virgin Mary of the Holy Spirit. The images in our stained glass are a reality. Whether one accepts this as literal or a powerful metaphor, it is so because it is a tenet of belief. To have integrity as a practicing Catholic, I must believe this, even if the concept of a virgin birth raises provocatively intriguing questions. And I must say here that I've had a number of challenging exchanges with liberal Catholic friends that their independent choosing of what moral tenets to embrace seems to me to have more to do with us than the Vatican. Faith, for me, on the other hand, is a matter of discovery. I have faith because I have arrived somewhere rather than being directed to it. And as we all know, arriving somewhere and being sure of the destination when we started are sometimes two very different things. I'm still not altogether sure where that mariachi band will take me, but I thoroughly enjoy how the spirit of life visits us in that form each November. Unitarian Universalism is a difficult religion, precisely because its openness invites so many possibilities. The unifying principle of our religion, for me, is the wonder of the journey and the faith in arrival. The spirit of life is much too real and abiding to be just words sung at Sunday service. It is as real and abiding as any icon in any church. The difference is, it is I who must find the images to make it real. What I've come to see is that belief requires acquiescence, while faith is the recognition of possibility and the conscious movement toward it. Recently, after a year's work, some vetting by the congregation, followed by additional work, a committee of members presented us with a brilliant document that may serve as a place to reflect on our individual and collective understanding of our chosen religion. Of the many wonderful affirmations, my favorite is, we relish life in a diverse urban community where everyone is welcome as they are and encouraged to stay and discover their best selves and unique calling in the human family. I like this so well because the idea of discovering our best selves is so compellingly rich in possibility. It embraces the faith that despite our missteps and failings, there is a best self out there, waiting for us to do the hard work of finding it. So too is there embedded in that affirmation the wonderful thought that the hard work need not be done alone, that as part of the human family, we look both within the congregation and beyond to find that best self and share it openly with those we meet. I have learned recently that beloved community, the keynote of that document, is not an abstract idea. It is not just a well-conceived phrase that describes an episodic phenomenon, a simple coming together each Sunday or for planned events. It is each one of us sitting here today and again in each of our lives tomorrow and the days after that. It is the quality of our spiritual and social life together. It is how we are well together, regardless of circumstance, working to discover our best selves individually and collectively. It is beloved community, and it has come to be my faith. I was born into Catholicism, became a conscripted Quaker, and have been drawn in first as perplexed and now a fully committed Unitarian Universalist. Today, I am, as a matter of sentiment and intellect, a member of beloved community in this church, among all of you, with joy, reverence, and wellness. Thank you.